For National Poetry Month in April, KWBU is highlighting four local poets to share what influences their work, as well as how they entered into the medium. Our fourth poet is Christopher Danish. Danish is a student at Tarleton State University, majoring in psychology with a minor in English. His poetry has been published in Stone Circle, MCC's student literary magazine, and exhibited in the Central Texas Artist Collective's annual Ekphrasis exhibit. Welcome, Christopher.
Hello.
So, when did you become interested in poetry?
Oh, it was in early high school when I really started exploring esoteric literature. I started reading Aleister Crowley, and then Edgar Allan Poe brought me on to all of that, and Mark Twain was one of my early influences as well. A lot of spiritual literature seems to be almost poetic in many ways, so this just created an avenue where I could express my spirituality and my complex emotions on paper. So
you said it was early high school. Was it, do you know, around like what age you were?
I would say maybe, well, okay, now that I'm thinking on it, it would be a late junior high. So that was eighth grade. I was probably 14, 15.
And so when you first started writing, was it directly poetry or was it kind of like more literary, or when did you start getting into actual poetry?
Really, I think a lot of literature could be considered poetry. You start to see in mainstream, spoken word is considered poetry, and I think anything passionate can be poetry in a way, but because it doesn't really have to rhyme, it doesn't have to have a rhythm, but you know, all of that can help. I started writing poetry and more mainstream spoken word, rhyming, you know, what we originally consider poetry. Started writing that probably in eighth grade, between the summer of the summer before my freshman year in high school. So
how would you describe your poetry?
It's a spiritual conversation. That's what it is. It's dialogue and consciousness studies, philosophies, and esoteric philosophy more so. I really like challenging my readers to question who they are in the deep center of their being. And that's actually one of my research interest is self-actualization, and you can look into Maslow's work on that. But I figure that is really the most important topic we could ever understand here on this planet. That is the essential need driving all of our actions.
You mentioned that a lot of your poetry is based on spiritualism. Who would you say that a lot of your poetry is like the conversation is with? You and...
Well,
who else?
It varies. Sometimes it's to my future self, so I could recollect and understand the lessons I had at that brief moment. Or it is to a collective consciousness. And, you know, going back to Jung's work on the collective unconscious, I'm more of, you know, panpsychism is more relevant nowadays in research literature. I consider that a sensible idea. Consciousness permeates reality. It is, I think, a fundamental force of nature. But I write to this consciousness. I write in praise of the glory of God, and I suppose also to my future self, to sum that up.
What's been like something that you've written, where you have written to your future self that you've learned from, now that you've looked back at it? Do you have an example of that?
I have examples of deeply disturbing and miserable states where I can look back at and learn about looking back how I overcame that, and also as a reminder of what that is like. It's enlightening, insightful, I think, to have that opportunity to tuck away these deeply personal experiences in text. And most of the time, something only I could understand.
So you mentioned a couple writers at the early onset of this interview, but who are some influential poets or writers that you believe have influenced the way you write, the way you put phrases together?
I'd say Edgar Allan Poe and Mark Twain were most of my early influence. I really enjoy Mark Twain and his Conversations with Satan, that whole document. The Raven, Edgar Allan Poe, is awesome work. You know, these are real general forms of literature and well-known. But when you really get into Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, it's really interesting. It really encourages you to face that shadow element within you, you know?
Yeah. So speaking of the shadow element within, or feelings in general, do you think that a lot of your poetry or your writing comes from a singular feeling, or do you have to be in a certain mood or place to feel like, to feel inspired to write?
Well, inspiration comes every day. I could probably bring it up every moment. Now, the ability to actually transfer this sort of experience that I want to record onto a piece of paper, it requires some meditative procedure. In early writings, I had to sit down and conduct similar procedures of mindfulness. And after this, I would feel, you know, in the zone, and I would get into it. Sometimes trauma, crises would prompt that, and I could just transfer. It's really like transferring my soul, imprinting it on a piece of paper. So I think that's a really neat attribute of literature and all forms of literature.
How has your poetry changed as you've gotten older, like for what you wrote whenever you were younger to now?
It's much more concise now. In early years, it was really abstract, and the people I shared it with, they had trouble understanding it sometimes, because I would bring in esoteric elements, and you know, not a lot of people explore that side of things. And now it's more relatable and more understandable.
Do you think it's just because you're older, or?
Yes, there comes growth and development in every art and every stage of life and every field of study. As we get more into the experience, we become more experienced.
You know, I asked one of my other poets this question, and I'm curious to what you think, because I think you were talking earlier about, well, poetry doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to be a set way to do it. Whenever you started writing, did you ever feel like there was topics you couldn't explore, or like certain ways that you couldn't write, like that no one else was writing like? So you're like, ooh, maybe that's not how you write poetry. Or
I embarked on a quest to challenge my readers. I challenged myself. I never wanted to be sort of what the mainstream wants. I wanted to challenge my readers. And so, yes, plenty of topics. Whole spirituality realm is a topic that some tend to shy away from. And that's because we want to be tolerant of all religions, even atheistic. However, my topics go into also sexuality. I was not scared to face the other realms, you know, like I said, I wanted to explore outside of mainstream, outside of general thought, and really, and that's why a lot of earlier pieces were real abstract, because I wanted to bring in esoteric literature and philosophies and really get people to start munching on that in their minds, you know?
Sure.
So, certain topics would be.
Let's go ahead and get into one of your poems.
Okay. I would like to read this one. It was actually written after my first open mic with the Waco Poet Society here in Waco. I enjoyed the scenery and the hippodrome so much. I felt like the Holy Spirit was there in the room, and I just had to write when I got home. So this was pretty much a piece praising, you can say Holy Spirit, Shakti, you can say Kundalini. You know, there's different names for this.
Before you start, can you say the name of the poem and then a little bit about what it's about?
Sure. This is Holy Art Thou, and this is just a piece of praise for our Holy Father and Divine Mother, the Holy Spirit. I would sing if my voice was that of the sweet nectar, but instead I write. I write to fill your divinity, for it is all-encompassing. This I write to you, thou whom art holy, thou whom art whole, you whose presence vibrates every atom in its dance of expression. If only I could accurately express this deep appreciation of your divine presence. A realization strikes me here in this moment. My life can be my tribute to you. My existence is your triumph. My suffering is your finding, and my breath is yours. My breath is fulfilled without a thought because I'm naturally inclined to participate in your holy gift. Yes, perhaps our lovers here and there will manifest thou presence, or perhaps we need to manifest our attention here in the present. Maybe we need to stop ignoring. And it seems ignoring is to be human. Ignorance is a condition. Misery is the product of the self-induced condition. This human condition comes before a panel, and you are there. My cries come before the panel, and you're there. My anguish, my torment, my success, my life comes before this panel of I, me, and my, and yet somehow I know thy presence is here. For you are the foundation. You are my strength. You are everything to me, and I am yours. Empower the panel to align upon a new crowning height, to reach ever closer, and to know that you can be known through any experience. This scope is limited, our sight is maimed. However, in the end, a beauty shall reign. You are my foundation, you are my strength. Grant me the serenity to relentlessly act according to thy will. May your grace bestow wisdom of your true will, of the true self. Alpha, Omega, foundation, strength, reality, and love. You are all of these and more. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for you are the foundation. You are my strength forever unto the ages.
What is your relationship like now with spirituality and religion? And
it's actually a lot deeper after discovering, St. Peter's here next to Baylor. They're really traditional Catholics, and I've been practicing Catholicism since I was born, and I just grew into it, and I appreciate it deeply because it's such a intimate experience. And also recently, I think that was the fall of 2017, I discovered Drukama, and this is spelled Drukama. They have a site, drukama.com.
What is that?
It's a program for meditation. I would say it's a, I don't know if they would consider it as a somatic psychotherapy, but I would consider it as somatic psychotherapy, being that I've directly experienced the effects of this after months of practicing, and it's changed my life. In conjunction with Catholicism, it's really opened my eyes to the world around me and to the world within myself too. It's a, to put it simply, a program of meditative procedures and postures that we can actually watch videos of. There's a forum where we can ask the adepts and tutors and the program to help us understand. And this can be practiced with any religion, any kind of doctrine you have. It's just a series of steps, and it's believed by the tutors that one can actually become self-actualized or enlightened by following this procedure. So it's a very exciting opportunity, and if any listeners want to look into it, it's you can look on YouTube, Drew Kama Radio. They have a podcast, too, you can look into as well. And it's a fascinating experience when you get into it.
Cool. Was that one of your more recent works?
That is not one of my recent works. Although, I guess, since for me, I'm only 23 years old, so maybe 3 years, 4 years would not be recent to me, but to others, it could be considered recent. So there's my answer. It was about the summer of 2016. That's when I wrote that.
So you also said that you performed it, right?
I actually have performed it. There's a Ivory Lion poetry organization here in Waco, and they focus more on Christian element. They want to, you know, proclaim God's glory with their poetry and literature. And I presented this when we collaborated with the Waco Poet Society at Cultivate 712 in downtown Waco, which is a beautiful art gallery. It's been around for about a year and a half. But Waco Poet Society, Central Texas Poet Society, and Ivory Lion all teamed up, and we got together at the Cultivate 712, and I got to present this one and another one I wrote for that particular presentation.
Was that your first time performing, or?
No.
So when did you start performing?
It was actually the day I wrote the Holy Art Thou piece, and that was my first open mic through the Waco Poet Society when Genuine was head of it. That was actually her last meeting with us. It was her birthday. We were celebrating, and I didn't know who this was, but she was a very interesting person, and she had great literature. She was well-spoken, and just this energy about her was very encouraging. So I felt encouraged to share that day, and it was my first open mic anyway. I wanted to work on my public speaking skills anyway, so I got up there and read Lotus from the Stone Circle, and I think Abandoned Love I've read as well.
Well, I actually think since we have Lotus here, I would love to go into that, if you would read that and let me know what it's about.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know what it's about first. It is basically self-actualization. So that's, I guess you could say, the spiritual journey, spiritual path. And this is a brief overview of that. And the blue lotus flower I mentioned in the poem is referring to spiritual enlightenment. So this is called Lotus. Tedious tasks are barking madness in a slot of my awareness. Hideous past never last upon the shore of evolving casts. Shine on, shine on, the end is near. Soothsayers plead into my ear. They flee me in this very hour, found in solitude filled with power. Misery has a way to free me from my chains and keep me from these pains. Along I continue to step ever higher upon the ladder into a blossoming blue lotus flower.
So it's about self-actualization. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
I cannot begin to comprehend what this state of self-actualization is. I can only know it when I am there. So
within this poem, though?
Within this poem, we have the challenge of the mind. There's thoughts always bombarding our awareness, and there's always distractions from social influences and from parental influences, peer influences that all consist within the social influence, and cultural influences all serves as a distraction here in this moment. As we're already there, it's like authentic experiences littered with all these distractions. And so I'm bringing up quite specifically these pieces of trash that bombard our awareness. And I even mentioned that it is like barking madness in a slot of my awareness. And even the images from the past and how we tend to have trouble forgiving past actions we've committed and how that seems to prevent us from embracing this pure authentic awareness that is there just waiting for us. Self-actualization. I don't know the process, but I'm learning it, and I can only speak from, you know, that amateur.
Sure. Is there a reason, I know that readers can't see this, but is there a reason why half the poem is like lowercase and then half the poem is all in all caps?
It's more intensity. And it's almost like a proclamation that nothing we've experienced in the past or any of the distractions we have now can compare to the state of self-actualization. Nothing can compare to the intensity and the overwhelming power of that state of awareness. And I'm only speaking from an indirect source, I guess.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the ekphrasis exhibit?
Yes, the ekphrasis is an exhibit where a visual and a written piece are brought together as a one presentation. And CTEC, our Central Texas Artists Collective, headed by Angie and Steve Veracruz, which are, they're great people. They are, this is actually the third year, I believe, of ekphrasis that we're doing it. We actually skipped 2018. So the last one we had was 2017. And that's when I got to team up with Julie Milstead. She had a nice charcoal drawing of a boy leaning over with the raven above him. And this immediately reminded me of the Raven piece by Edgar Allan Poe and death. It really had the element of death and, you know, sorrow attached to it. So that's kind of what I wrote the piece on. And Julie Milstead, it was great working with her. Even though I didn't spend much time with her, I got to, you know, arrange that collaboration. And although brief, it was a fascinating experience. We actually, the ekphrasis exhibit gives an opportunity to artists and writers here in the Central Texas area, Temple, Killeen, Waco. So they come and they submit works to Angie. Angie reviews them, and if she likes it, she teams you up with someone, or you can come in with your own partner. And in November, they set up the pieces. First, they have a opening ceremony where all the pieces are there, and everyone comes and, you know, tends to drink and eat and be merry, right? After this, they have businesses host the artworks and their storefronts in downtown Waco. And there's about, I don't know, maybe 12 to 20 exhibits set up around Waco. And it's really quite awesome. I mean, you have the fall, autumn, crisp air and this, you know, really great jubilant time. You know, the holidays are around the corner and you get to walk around with family. Even on Thanksgiving break, you know, if you have nothing to do, go down there, get to see all the artworks and pieces of poetry there on storefronts in downtown Waco. So
very cool.
I think that's a valuable time well spent and a valuable experience for the artists involved in that.
Are you originally from Waco? Or where are you from?
I was born in Waco, raised in Robinson. Ended up moving from Robinson to graduate in Falls City, which is a small town, South Texas.
When did you come back to Waco?
Came back. That was in the summer of 2014.
Okay. I'm not really familiar with the poet community here, but how long have you been in it, for one? And then would you say it's growing? What would you say the progress within that is?
The progress is exciting, to sum it up in one word. And I would say I was part of it when I was in MCC, fall of 2014, submitting pieces to the Stone Circle. I was surprised that, you know, I got my first publications through them, and I wasn't really involved in the poet scene here in Waco until I went to my first open mic, and that was summer of 2016. And it has grown, and it continues to grow, and these open mics are such a fascinating experience, such an empowering feeling to be able to share a piece of your soul with a community that is really like family, because once you share, it's, you know, you and them experiencing it in this moment and pretty much become family there at that point. I can trail off into a collective consciousness sort of view here, but I'll stay on track and say, simply go back to the fact that it is growing here in Waco, the whole artist movement. And I think CTAC, Creative Waco, is also working with CTAC and bringing this art culture into Waco. Austin Avenue has been considered the, you know, cultural districts, and now it's the arts almost. It's like the arts district. And in fact, we have the opportunity through CTAC to have a it is a chalk drawing contest, and that would be in the morning before the marathon for the silos takes place. So we get to go out there from 3 a.m. to 7 o'clock.
Oh my gosh, getting up at 3 a.m.
There will be a lot of coffee available, and there will be cash awards for winners, and we get a plot to ourselves to do art or literature right there for the racers as they begin their race.
What do you think's unique about being a poet in Waco versus like a bigger city?
Being that it's so early and it's overwhelming presence, it is grounds for establishing a framework and just being part of a sort of founding class, I suppose.
Sure.
And just being able to have that experience from beginning to wherever it's going is overwhelming for that individual, and I'm sure they deeply appreciate being a part of that.
Sure. I do want to get into your last poem that you want to read today.
Well, Relentless Discernment is regarding the process of meditation. I actually submitted it for a contest online. The topic was meditation, to write about meditation, so. Flow and row, along with this ripple of complexities growing so rapidly around me, the very air seems to proclaim this honest peace. Air shudders in this space. How could such a measly task force this upon me? How did I find this road where no path was there before me? Embracing this melody, I collapse within the flexible mold, arriving at the limit of the conscious, beyond any before. Shuddering and thundering electricity so sound, falling in deep silence so bound. The blood falls to a steady metronome of a pendulum. The heart beats, beats, beats. Just a beat more, as undeniable peace is claimed, as my will is known. These happenings are merely a search for truth, the process of discerning my will until discernment is found. Revealed is thy discernment, my truth is known. These Rosicrucians will not stop beating on this throne. It seems I cannot seek when passions run amok. I cannot manipulate luck when nothing is such. Nothing is something, and so it perplexes a psychically extracurricular study of molecular interaction. While I work on extraction, while I toil to claim an undeniably worthwhile peace that soon I shall attain, ever long retained in a multitude of forays, we are soon to be in a euphoric mold of entropy, balanced within, outside, sideways, underway, to enter the way, a highway, some roadway, no way but in, and everything escalating outward toward the true way. As if an exploding tetrahedron explores the planes of relativity, relation is to exist and the awareness is relative. Speak and be proud. Be hollow, be ground. Be hallowed, be crowned. All that can be is here when discernment is found. Yes, everything from the coals to the clouds, from the electromagnetism to the sound. Live to understand your own. Discernment guides, but it is the truth that gives the euphoric melody of the self. So pursue and chase relentlessly until true will is found.
That one's nice. When did you write that one?
That, you know what? That was like, I think summer of 2017. I had to make 2 revisions to it since then.
Do you often do that? Do you go back on your poetry and revise, or what prompts you to do that?
As I gain more experience, I tend to notice some choppy elements to some of the more abstract poems from early years. So I have to go back and really examine that. And after taking some American literature, British literature, and reading a lot more and like research literature, I can combine those elements, that vocabulary and that experience and knowledge of stanzas and the alliterations and similes, metaphors, all the poetic devices that you can use to really enhance that literature, I can use to promote some rhythm in those pieces.
Yeah, I mean, the way you read it, too, there's obviously, like, a tempo.
Yeah, and sometimes it's kind of even difficult to read. As you saw, the psychically extracurricular study of molecular interaction is, I think, a pretty cool line that I came across.
I always kind of found that interesting about the way that poets perform their work. Yeah. Like, it's almost like a song. Would you consider musicians poets? A lot of them?
Yes. A lot of them, some of them do not put much work or effort into their lyrics. And that really shows. It's really mostly for the rhythm or to emphasize the beats or the, the music in the background.
Sure. So that's kind of what it reminded me of. It had like its own, beat that you were following, but then slowing down, but then going faster. Yeah. Does a lot of your poetry do that, or does it just depend on what you're writing about?
It depends, but I'm trying to make it more rhythmic. Going back, the first piece I read was not very, didn't have much rhythm to it, but it doesn't have to. It's a piece of praise, and I'm okay with it not having rhythm. It's more of a statement. And I think a lot of poetry nowadays is just becoming more of a statement. And it kind of saddens me sometimes when I see that it's becoming more of a conversation, an opinionated conversation, dialogue. And as long as you can say it fast with rhythm, then, there's some kind of, special quality to it. And I think... yes, it's entertaining, and people can appreciate it. But let's leave that to music. I think we need to be more engaging with our literature, more provocative. Don't get me wrong. There is a lot of spoken word that is provocative, and I think that is empowering and insightful for people to experience. And that's as long as you're sharing your soul and being authentic with your literature, then by all means, do it as long as it's true to you.
Great. Do you have anything you're working on, any current projects?
Yes, I am working on my first collection of poetry that I will want to publish. I may have to self-publish. I'm trying to go through a... course in college so I can get credit and actually have assistance from a professor while he critiques, but I may get some. I've already had critiques before from American literature professor I had, Gary Ross. He gave me good feedback, I think, good criticism that I really needed to hear. He was mentioning how some of it's too abstract. At that point, I knew, okay, yeah, I have to go back and make sure some of this is more concise and has some realistic references, because some of it was more esoteric and unknown. So I had to go back and clarify some of that. But yeah, I'm working on that. I'm working on the ekphrasis piece. Have yet to figure out who my partner is. I'm hoping it's Deborah. And she's a local artist. She actually has a fine art exhibit going on in a gallery here in Waco. And I wish I could tell you the name of the gallery, but unfortunately I cannot think of the name right now. But she's a great artist, has great abstract pieces. And even Julie Milstead, if she was to come back and do ekphrasis, I would love to work with her again too. But other than the collection of poetry and the ekphrasis, it's pretty much, if I feel like writing a new piece for open mic and testing that out, I'll try that. Or if I come across any interesting contests online, then I'll submit to those.
How can people in the community go and see spoken word? Is there like a regular time that it happens? Or
yes, we actually have a Facebook page that you can follow. It used to be every third Saturday, and then it was changed a few months ago to the third Thursday because we were meeting at the same place as the Texas Poet Society, I think is what they're called. They have theirs every third Saturday. You can come. It's a free event. Waco Poet Society has theirs usually the third Thursday of every month, but it has been changing. We've been more sporadic with our time since ISIS came. And you could just follow the Facebook page for those times. That would be at Waco Poet Society. And you can even talk to ISIS Lee about when those time frames are. I get to actually, I'm a featured speaker poet at the May event. So can't wait for that. That's an awesome opportunity.
Well, thank you, Christopher, for being part of KWBU's National Poetry Month series. We appreciate you coming in and reading.
I appreciate you and this opportunity. Thank you.